This is NASCAR driver Tony Breininger inviting you to make a pit stop at Raising Cane's for my favorite craveable chicken fingers. Turbocharge your order and get it even faster when you order online or with the Raising Cane's app. Raising Cane's chicken fingers, one love. Raising Cane's is not affiliated with NASCAR.
This is an
ENN
special report. Now reporting.
Peter, you look very handsome.
ENN's at 6.
When the clock struck 6, it meant one thing.
I want to go chase the squall.
Peter's nothing interesting to say.
Now, from the ESPN New York news desk, here's
Rosenbaum or whatever that guy's name is.
No wonder your show is number one.
Good evening and welcome to ENN. I'd like to start off, if I may, by saying good evening to Michael.
See you, everybody. Have a good night.
And then I'd like to say good evening to Don.
How many chances you get?
It's a really great point I think you made there, Don.
Why, thank you. I wanted to clear something up quick if I can.
Okay.
Michael was talking about the new play-by-play voice of the Seattle Kraken, Everett Fitzhugh. He has been hired. I have not seen whether it's radio or television. He threw out John Walton, which kind of confused me. John Walton is still with the Capitals, so.
He's my friend.
When he mentioned John, I thought maybe John had also gotten a gig with Seattle, but so I got a little confused. But that's still a pretty significant hire for Seattle. First African-American play-by-play guy. And they also hired an African-American like host as well. So Seattle being very progressive. Good job out of them.
Well, it's good to see for hockey for sure. It's about time. The NBA bubble continues to be an interesting place, Don.
How so?
Some interesting words here from LeBron James, and some people are reading between the lines here, and some eyebrows reportedly raised during his comments to The Athletic after the Lakers' 105-88 loss to the Thunder on Wednesday.
Okay.
He said, "It's just some things you can't control that's here that I really don't want to talk about. That's off the floor."
Well, why do you say that? Was there more?
He goes on to say, "This is a totally different situation than any other situation that I've been in my career. So I have zero experiences with having the number one seed inside of a bubble during seeding games playing in August. This is all a learning experience for all of us. And we're going to take it day by day and continue to work on our habits, either on the floor, during the film session, when we're able to get on the floor as well. But this is a totally different season, a totally different drastic situation for all of us, including myself." So maybe that's all he means.
Yeah, because I needed more there. Because he didn't say anything to the point where what are you even bringing anything up for? But is he getting criticized maybe? Or are the Lakers being criticized for not taking these games seriously? Or his playing time? Is there some criticism there? That's what it sounds like to me. Like, I don't know how to treat this. We're battling for a one seed, but we're not going to really have home court advantage. He's never been in this situation before. It sounds like somebody's being critical of the Lakers for something.
Yeah, and the way it's written makes it sound like there's like something scandalous going on. But when you read into it, it sounds like more of the off the court stuff is just like it's annoying and weird. And maybe he just doesn't want to get into a situation where he's detailing his complaints because he knows how that looks. So he'd just rather leave it alone. But I don't think it means that there's necessarily something more, I don't know, sinister going on.
Now, who have the Lakers played? Have they played anyone? Like, who did they play last night?
They played the Thunder on Wednesday.
I mean, are people complaining because are they affecting the seedings by not taking these games seriously? It just sounds like he feels like he's being criticized.
That.
He sounds defensive, and I don't know what he's defensive of.
That's not different than a bubble. I mean, these seeding games, this would be the end of a season no matter what.
Yeah, so
once you've clinched number one, you don't really care who seeds anywhere else.
Of course.
Nor do you have to.
They've earned that. They've earned that right. That happens, as you said, normal circumstances. It just sounds like he's being defensive, and I'm not really sure what he needs to be defensive of, he or the Lakers. I mean, the media is there. He's talking. They're fine, right? As far as like where their standing is,
I think this is probably an example of us as the media just trying to read into something. There's not a lot there. Don, by the way, I'm watching the Penguins here. 6 minutes left in the third. Still 0-0. Penguins on the brink, down 2-1 in the series to Montreal. So might not be a playoff, but I'll tell you what, Don. When it's 0-0 with 6 minutes left in the third period in an elimination game, this is a playoff game.
I got to tell you, this has been very close checking. There's only been 39 shots combined in this game. So you get a feeling that the next goal will win. It doesn't matter when it's going to come. It's probably going to be tough for whoever gives up that goal to come back. And listen, they haven't lost yet. They could very easily score the next goal, win tomorrow, and advance. But they'll have some questions to answer if Pittsburgh loses. Remember, this is a team that was swept out of the playoffs in the first round last year by the Islanders. The year before was when they finally were conquered by the Washington Capitals. I could see there being some questions. Is this like it? You know, is this no longer a team that can compete for a championship? How poorly they've played in these postseason games. And there's really no reason, talent-wise, Peter, they should be facing elimination against Montreal. That is a very, very average team. And I've watched a lot of this series. I know you've watched a bit, too. You can't say, oh, Carey Price has stood on his head. That's not been the case. They've been outplayed at times in this series. So they could still win it. So let's not be overly critical. But if they were to lose this game, I think there's some changes that might be coming within that organization.
And remember, I mean, this is a team that's still really basically the core of the championship teams from a couple years ago. So,
and yeah, but you know, time does, you know, you don't have a shelf life of forever in sports.
No. So Zion Williamson, we talked about his minutes being upped the other day. Yesterday, he played just under 22. Shot 10 for 12 from the floor. He's so good. 24 points, but they lost to Sacramento, which is a game they kind of have to get if they're trying to make the playoffs. And now he is resting tonight. He is a healthy scratch against the Wizards.
They could still win, though. Wizards are a mess.
I assume the thought process is let's be safe and get more out of him because the Wizards are not even a team. But, hey, they're just coming off of a win that they needed, and they're coming off of a loss to Sacramento, who's not exactly a world beater. So, hard to say exactly how that'll work out, but
picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
So let's get into this DeAndre Baker story, Giants fans, if you will. Baker is now being charged with four counts of robbery with a firearm. And one interesting piece of the story is that as of this moment, Seahawks and former Washington cornerback Quentin Dunbar is not facing criminal charges in connection with the same incident. Now, Michael said maybe those charges are still forthcoming. Don, in the stories that I've read, this is now the second or third I've looked at, they're being written as if he's not being charged.
No,
but they were both accused of robbery back in May in Florida, but now it looks like DeAndre Baker is the one facing all these serious charges. They're both on the league's exempt list.
Now, let me ask you this. Is there any question the incident happened?
Doesn't seem like it.
So if the incident happened, it's just a matter of whether it was he or Dunbar that committed the incident. And if Dunbar is right now, looks like he's not going to be charged, it sounds like it's all on his shoulders then. Unless there's some question that did it even happen.
I have to tell you, this has not been a massive news story, Don. But don't you think the actual story, when you really think about it, is crazy?
Of course it is.
This is like, it's kind of slid under the radar. You're talking about two promising players. Neither player's a bum. We're talking about two good players.
Right.
I mean,
they're not superstars,
but they're legit. They are players who, while very young, should be in this league for a while. It's just
and prominent organizations too. It's not like it's a no offense to Tennessee or Jacksonville. I mean, you're talking about a Giant and a Seahawk. They're not obscure by any stretch.
And they go to a get-together of some sort, and what ends up happening is an armed robbery. Now, you remember, Don, I said at the time that maybe it was a situation where one of them was being dragged into it because he was with the other player, and that something crazy happened, and the other guy's like, whoa, but
Montreal
they're two
scored.
Football players who were there together, and that's just how it looked.
But then did they get dragged in by somebody anonymous? And you know what I'm saying? Like, it's still an incredibly interesting story in which I can't believe both of them are innocent, right? That would be incredible. So, I don't know. Are we that numb to gun violence now? Are we that numb to this from NFL players getting in trouble where this is a story that can actually fly under the radar?
I know. And it's a local story. It's so strange. Now, I'm sorry. We're going to get to some fun stuff, but we'll stay in the area of dark for a little bit here. Don, this is sad. A former director of communications for the Anaheim Angels has been charged by the DEA for supplying the drugs that killed former pitcher Tyler Skaggs. Of course, he died in his hotel room in Texas last year. He's 27 years old. He's found on July 1st. Just a tragic story. Found unconscious. And then they found out that there was a controlled substance involved, and now this team employee is being charged in his death.
Well, we felt at the time of his death that it was probably something like that, right? That someone got him this drug. It was just a matter of whether it was a friend, a teammate, somebody with a team, and now we know that it's somebody with the team. And, you know, incredibly sad. Incredibly sad. So is it just caving to the pressure of him desperately wanting it? Was it a case of just giving him the wrong thing? Just sad.
Right, like you don't know. Was this guy a drug dealer who was like, hey, buddy, I'll hook you up? Or was this an employee who's, you know, Skaggs was saying, hey, I need you to do this for me? Now, either way, it's not good, but it does make it different. So we don't know. And I guess maybe we'll find out as time goes on, but certainly not a good situation. Let's try to pick things up a little bit, shall we?
Please.
I mean, I got to tell you, the Cardinals game today postponed after another Cardinal tested positive for COVID-19.
I thought we were trying to pick things up.
Right. I'm not going to spend much time on that. We can't act like those are huge stories at this point. It's just kind of a day in baseball, right? It's like a rainout.
We actually got into a nice little groove, didn't we? I mean, we still have a lot of the postponements from earlier, but the tests were positive. Michael gave some great statistics before.
But there were already postponements this week.
Yeah.
It's not like we've made it a week yet. So let's have some fun. I mentioned the other day that Pat McAfee of ESPN and the Pat McAfee Show got into it with a WWE superstar, Adam Cole, on NXT. Well, it was pretty entertaining, and McAfee was on Get Up today, and up the ante a little bit. Let's hear from McAfee.
I have no idea what I'm doing in there. And that's why the next 14 days are so big. August 22nd, NXT TakeOver 30. I have to not look like an idiot like the Saturday Night Live guys that have gotten in the ring before. I have to go in there and do my thing, not get injured, and hopefully put on for the NFL folks. Now, granted, a large portion of the NFL is not going to be happy that I'm representing them, but I'm going to do this for the punters and the kickers, and I'm going to be an athlete out there, and I'm going to walk out undefeated like I'm Goldberg back in the day.
He was also asked on, will he have a ring name?
No, I'm just going to be Pat McAfee. You know, if I could be anybody else, I would be, obviously. I wish I could be Peyton Manning. I wish I could be Tom Brady. I wish I could be a little bit more handsome. I'm just going to be me. And to be honest, I don't think I'm smart enough to come up with a better name. So I'm going to be Pat McAfee. I'm going to go in there. I'm probably going to look a little flabby, a little bit out of shape. You know, legs like a Greek god, upper body of an adolescent. And I'm just going to enjoy the hell out of this thing and hopefully get a win for all of us out here.
That's so weird. It's a weird situation, you know?
It sure is. It's
he's such a strange cat, man. I mean, he's punter, analyst, wrestler.
He is. He's a very... Pat is a unique cat. That is 100% one way to put it.
Certainly is.
You know, when you talk unique cats, you talk Jim Harbaugh. He's sort of the definition. And he already is getting into it with Ohio State. During the weekly Big Ten coaches conference call, he interrupted Ryan Day, head coach of Ohio State, mid-answer, and accused him of violating rules by having on-field instructions and drills take place while it's not permitted by the NCAA. To which Ryan Day responded, "How about I worry about my team and you worry about yours?" After the call, apparently, Day was fired up enough that he told his team that they were going to hang 100 on Michigan this year. Now, Don, that might be a funny thing to say, but over the last 2 years, the Michigan-Ohio State scores in favor of Ohio State have been 56-27 and 62-39.
It's so stretched, but
it's a stretch.
Not as credible as stretches when you first heard it.
Right. The 62, if you pulled a 62, you could start talking 76, 83. You know, you could talk a little bit about that.
Now, we've seen situations where you call off the dogs. It sounds like they may not be calling off the dogs. I don't remember either of those two games, but it was like maybe did they score 62 with like 10 minutes left to
right,
play?
Right, you don't
and
know.
Brought in the backups, and you know what? They get a couple of more touchdowns out of you, you know?
Now, let's hear from Ryan Smith on ESPN Radio talking about why Harbaugh is just the ultimate salesman.
He is an accomplished, good-looking, great promoter coach. And he's the kind of guy who can say, look, whether we're winning or losing, if I'm putting my team out there all the time, if I'm always in the news, if I am at the top of people's minds in the college football world, whether we're winning or losing, that's going to help him keep his job. That gets him paid. And think about it from the perspective of how all the other coaches are. Boring sound bites. Not a lot to see here. That doesn't get fan bases fired up. And those coaches have nothing but winning or losing. But that's how Jim Harbaugh stays employed. And that gets Michigan. My niece is from Michigan. She lives in Japan. And she gets fired up about it. And she's not even a big football fan. But she sees this and she writes me and says, oh, it's going to be our year. That's how you keep people engaged. And you know what? That's how you keep a job. This is how you do it in 2020. It's not just about wins and losses. It's about igniting the fan base at all times. That's what he does. And he will keep his job, I think, no matter what happens with Michigan this year, unless they completely bottom out.
Now, Don, you and I both don't feel great about the likelihood of college football this year.
No.
We've talked about that. But here's what some things might look like, at least according to what I would describe as the most or second most important conference in the sport. The SEC will require coaches and players on the sideline to wear a face mask and neck gaiter. Competing players will have to wear a neck gaiter during timeouts when conferring with coaches on the sidelines. Players will also be tested 6 days, usually Sunday, and then 3 days, usually Wednesday, prior to a game. Positive test will trigger a 14-day quarantine. So what you'll be picturing here, Don, is coaches on the sideline wearing masks, players wearing gaiters, and when they're huddled around talking, the players will all have the gaiters up over their faces.
Now, we haven't gotten any information whether asymptomatic people spread less of the virus than people that are actually feeling symptoms.
Nope, we don't know.
Like when you talk about viral load, right? Is there because I guess because the asymptomatic person wouldn't be sneezing, wouldn't be coughing. I guess that would be the difference, right?
That is exactly right. They are inherently less likely because they are not exhibiting the behavior that sprays droplets all over the place.
Right, but breathing, you could still get it. Breathed on by an asymptomatic person would be the same as being breathed on by a person that is feeling symptoms. I don't know. I'm just trying to figure out how this is all going to work. Obviously, there's a lot of money invested. As Montreal has just put it into the empty net, Peter, the Canadiens are moving on. Pittsburgh, out. Out. That's a bad, bad loss for Pittsburgh. That's bad for the league, too. They just lost Sidney Crosby for their postseason, but...
Wait, did they... I was actually doing my job. I was actually doing my job and didn't and went away and didn't even know they scored the first goal, Don. Why didn't you tell me?
I even said it on the air. Anthony, did you hear me say it on the air? I said, Montreal just scored.
You did?
But you're just such a pro.
Or an idiot. I literally did not hear you. And I just want to say my complaining about this setup really proved to just be exactly what I was worried about. It's the one drawback that feels a little unfair. The Penguins were a 5 seed. That should be in the playoffs. And instead, they played a 12. Obviously, they wouldn't have fared that well in the playoffs, evidently. But who knows? What if this was just a matchup thing? And they have to have a series that they shouldn't be having.
I'm sorry. No. This Montreal was 500, an NHL 500 team, which means that if you took their overtime and shootout losses, they were under 500. They were the worst team in either bubble. And you lost in four and really got outplayed. And there were many people going into this that didn't like the best of five because I don't want to play a best of five because Carey Price could stand on his head and beat a good team. Well, guess what? Carey Price did beat a good team, but he didn't have to stand on his head. Pittsburgh in this game, and listen, Montreal, I'm not taking anything away from the Canadiens. They had 22 shots on goal in an elimination game. And I watched most of it. I can't tell you that I saw like unbelievable saves out of Carey Price. So
no, me neither. I watched a lot too. I watched the better part of three of the four. The Penguins looked flat just the entire series. There was never... Sid started off great in the series. He was generally pretty good. But they just did not have a spark.
And so. I'm not suggesting a firing. I'm just saying that maybe the whole idea of Pittsburgh being a dominant team is over. They were swept last year by the Islanders. You know, they just lost three out of four to a team that doesn't even belong in the playoffs.
Well, no, so, what's possible, Don, is that you have to decide which pieces of this team you want to stay, you want to keep, and maybe you shuffle around other ones.
Yeah, so it might be time that, you move on and start to think about maybe rebuilding just a bit. But it's tough to do when you've got Letang and Crosby and Malkin. I mean, they've got a lot of stars on the team, but... What does it mean if you're...
Well, I mean, I would say two of those three, obviously one is Sid, but two of the three I feel like would be unmovable. They wouldn't want to move on from. But maybe you move another one of them. Mm-hmm. One of them.
But give credit. Montreal played well. They win. And Pittsburgh joins the New York Rangers and the Florida Panthers. Starting to get a little breathing room inside Toronto's bubble. Some teams going home.
Well, Tiger Woods has not done... much to get himself closer to the lead today. In fact, he's down a stroke for the day, one under so far. He's actually been hitting it straight, and he's been playing in regulation. He's just not making putts. So maybe on the back nine, he's able to make a move because he's not falling apart. He's playing fine. He's just not making a move. He hasn't done anything special the entire day, hasn't made a big putt.
Tommy back now?
From the leader who's finished, he's seven back.
But he's still...
No, he's got more than half the day left. So, I mean, he could totally play himself into a good spot.
But what's the best he can shoot?
What, the rest of the day?
Yeah.
Three or four under for the day. Who knows?
Wow, then he can get within three.
Yeah, no. Tiger going four under on the back nine is a thing that happens. It's not like it couldn't happen. But
right. It
would be nice if right here in the last couple of holes of the front nine, he picks something up, and he just shorted his approach here on, I think, six or seven.
So you're saying best case scenario, he can be 3-4 strokes off the pace going into Saturday.
Correct, which would be great. But right now, nothing special. Rory's at one over. Justin Thomas at even. Of course, that's the featured group right now. The early leader today, a name you might not have expected, Li Haotong. Li is 25 years old, and he is had an incredible day, a 65.
Ooh, really?
Yeah, a 65 for the day. And was two strokes ahead of Tommy Fleetwood.
Is that right?
That's right, Marshawn. and he's still the leader at 8 under. So,
Mr. Unlimited.
Right. Now, that may be his new nickname is Mr. Unlimited.
Here's the question. Because these were the allegations that were thrown out by people in the know. that with no spectators and trying to make it a TV event, that these courses have played a little easier. Try to hope to attract, get really low scores, get people excited watching TV. Are you finding this course playing any different than it would under normal circumstances?
I don't know enough to speak in detail about it, but I would say at this stage where you have like Jason Day at 8-under, Fleetwood 6-under, Schauffele at 6-under, Paul
sounds
Casey,
like it. Kind of sounds 5 like
under. It feels like they're playing pretty well.
And I'm not mad at them for it. I mean, everybody's got to play the same course, right? So, you know, you do what you got to do for the TV viewer out there. Because you got a lot of competition, much more than you normally would under other circumstances playing in August.
Are you suggesting like hole placements easier?
Yeah.
A pin
that's
placement?
What I'm suggesting. That was the allegations by people in the know for some of these tournaments during the pandemic, is that they're playing a little easier so that the scores could be lower and maybe attract more of a television audience by having better scores.
Well, if it's about pin placement, can they place them a little better, because Tiger's still struggling on this day, Don?
Yes.
In sports history, let's go back to 2007.
Bassick's 3-2 again. This is swinging a high fly ball right center field. Back it goes, racing back, Logan jumping up, and that ball is gone. Number 756. Barry Bonds stands alone. And on the night of August 7, 2007 in San Francisco, California, Barry LeVar Bonds has hit more home runs than any major leaguer in the history of baseball.
That's pretty clear what that was.
Yeah, you didn't even have to explain it.
No, that's 7:56 right there, and it's 6:35, and that'll do it for ENN on a Friday evening.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.